Thank you, Lord. All right, you can be seated. Come on, who's glad to be in the house of God this morning? Oh, he's already doing some amazing things in our hearts, and believe the best is yet to come, hopefully. If you have your Bible this morning, turn to Psalm 85. Psalm 85, and just so grateful and humbled and honored to be with you this morning in the presence of God and visiting his word, and just even in the midst of stuff going on in the world, you know, there's hope. The Jayhawks are 1-0 in football. I was there yesterday afternoon, my whole family. We had all of our Jayhawks gear on. Come on, this Texas boy, it really has been saved. And so anyways, just so grateful, so humble. Were you blessed by Legacy last weekend? Come on, were you blessed by that film? And just so grateful, so blessed, but to just see and be reminded of what God's done. And as we're reminded of what God's done, it builds faith for what he's yet to do. And I just believe that, so grateful that just as long as I have the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit or this table, whatever you want to call it, honoring the past, honoring our elders, honoring and appreciating, stirring the hearts of us as a church family to be grateful, for our hearts to be filled with gratitude for what God's already done is going to be a constant. And so I just believe that the pathway to the next, to the new, to the more of God is always just faithfulness with what he's already put in our hand and gratitude for what he's already done. Amen? And I also believe that as we are believing for God to revive this church, to revive this city, to revive our nation, that the pathway to that happening in a lot of ways is revisiting and restoring some things that God's already done. I mean, you know, the word of God is unchanging. There's some things in here that he's outlined for us to live out and to do. If we'll just get back to doing them, that'll bring about revival in our lives and in our city. And it was so awesome for me to watch the Legacy film and just pick up on some things that God's already done and that God did, especially back in that Jesus movement when this church was being birthed into becoming a church that would be a city influencing and region influencing and nation changing church. And I saw this enthusiasm in people of all ages, but especially young people. And I saw this enthusiasm. They spoke about it. We were enthusiastic. We were passionate about Jesus. And we were passionate about telling people about Jesus. And we were passionate about gathering together and ministering to one another and doing life in the presence of God. And I just believe that if we'll just get back to doing some of those things, and I want to encourage some of you, you know, that maybe were watching that, and if you were maybe a part of that movement, I believe God wants to restore the passion that you once felt. Maybe you were a college kid, or I don't know how old you were in the 70s, and I'm not asking. But I believe God wants to restore some of that enthusiasm and that passion for Jesus and for God's people. And whatever you've allowed or caused to put you on the sideline, God's calling you back into the game. Revisiting and restoring some things. Passion for Jesus, sharing life, encouraging one another, passionate about reaching and telling others, believing that God really is who he says he is and he'll really do what he said he's done. And people that I've been preaching about it, and I saw in that video of people that were moved with compassion and conviction and courage. They were compassionate for the people around them, and they had the conviction that Jesus was the answer. And they were so filled with that they had the courage to reach out and lead people to experience and encounter Jesus. I believe that's what God wants to restore to us. He wants to revive us. And you know, I want to talk to you this morning about revival. I believe it's what God wants to do. I believe it's what God wants to do in your life, in your heart, in your marriage, in your family, in your purposes in God. And I believe it's what God wants to do in this church, in this city, and in this nation. And I believe that there's hope for Lawrence. There's hope for the United States of America, and his name is Jesus. He wants to revive us. Revive, the definition of revive is to restore to life, to restore, regain consciousness, to restore, regain strength. Definitions of the word revival are an improvement in the condition or the strength of something, an instance of something becoming popular, relevant, active, or important once again, a reawakening of activity or fervency, a restoration to physical, mental, or spiritual life, vitality, and success. Come on, I want some of that for myself. I don't know about you. And I believe it's God's heart for this city. It's God's heart for America. God's arm is not so short that he cannot save. And listen, you might look around Lawrence and say, well, this city, you know, it's got some issues, and it does. But let me tell you, where the darkest places are, that's the opportunity for the light of God to shine the brightest. It's an opportunity for the light of God to shine brightly. And I'm telling you, he's called you and he's called me and he's called this church to be a bright, shining light to this city, like a city set on a hill. Come on, it's prophetic that that campus is built on a hill. I believe it's going to burn brightly for Jesus, and it's going to be a light for what's possible on a campus when just a few people start to gather together and believe that God is alive and well and wants to move in the hearts and lives of people. He wants to set them free. He wants to restore them. He wants to heal them. He wants to strengthen them. He wants to show them his real heart for them. He wants to reveal and establish them in his purposes for their life. He wants to undo and uncover the lies and the deceptions and the traps of the enemy, and he wants to begin to speak life. Come on, just like we sang this morning, he wants to come into dry and weary and dead places, and he wants to begin to breathe upon them and bring people back to his life. So I just want to make a prophetic announcement this morning. Revival's coming to Lawrence, Kansas. Revival's coming to America. You know, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 16, he kind of chastised people. He was chastising religious leaders. He said, you know how to interpret the weather by looking at the signs in the sky. But he said, you need to learn how to interpret the signs of the times and the signs of the seasons, spiritually speaking. And I want to share something that really strengthened my faith. And in 1998, my dad, Richard Humphreys, he penned a prophecy to the church. At that time, he was overseeing a church network for Trinity Fellowship Church in Amarillo, Texas, where I was born and raised. And he was overseeing a network of pastors and encouraging churches and spending time in the presence of the Lord, hearing what God was saying to the church, and then communicating it and spending time with pastors and leaders and churches to help them walk in the fullness of what God had for them as churches. In 1998, the Lord gave him a prophecy. It's a 60-page prophetic word. And he wrote it and he published it, and he began to give it out to church leaders and to pastors and to anyone who had an interest in it. And I want to show you the cover of this prophecy that will show you the title of this prophecy that was written 20 years ago and I believe was speaking about such a time as this. So put it up there. I mean, you might not believe me if I didn't show you. We have it. Oh, there it is. It's up there. I was looking back there. A prophecy to the church. The eclipse is over. The coming hurricane, prepare for the latter rain. Listen, can I just submit to you that in the natural, what this represented, what God was speaking in the spirit, came to pass in 1 week. Came to pass last week. So let me unpack this for you a little bit. I'm just going to paraphrase it for you. You can get it, you can read it. It's actually on the ministry that my dad serves in now, kingdomglobal.com. You could go there, you can read the whole thing for yourself, kingdomglobal.com. But let me just paraphrase it for you. The darkness that began to enter into America several decades ago, to God, is just like an eclipse. We're acquainted with the darkness that's in America, but to God, it's just like a passing eclipse. And just like the eclipse came and it covered up and it got dark and then moved off and the light began to shine once again, the darkness that has invaded America is going to begin to shift, and the light of God is going to begin to shine, and the glory of God is going to return to the church and to this nation to bring revival to people and to churches and to cities. I believe it with all my heart. I believe it with all my heart. Listen, revival is not an event. Revival is an awakening. It's a coming to life. It's a lifestyle. It's not an event. When it's an event, we go to it and then we go back to our normal life. It's something that captures us and envelops us and causes us to begin to live differently and see differently and walk differently. And it's for you. Listen, revival is for you. It's for you to experience and to enjoy and then to lead others to experience and enjoy. Which brings us to Psalm 85:6, which says this. Won't you revive us again? It's a crying out of God's people to God. Won't you come and revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Come on, when God begins to move, when God begins to pour out his spirit, when God begins to bring dead things to life, when God begins to revive the people of God and the churches of God and the cities that those churches are in, it's a good thing. It brings joy. It brings life. It brings freedom. It brings hope. You want to be a part of it. Won't you revive us, God, so that your people can rejoice in you? It's not an event. It's an awakening. It impacts every area of our lives. It impacts our hearts. It impacts our marriages. It impacts our families. It impacts our churches. It impacts our cities. Come on, the darkness that has covered many of those places is beginning to shift, and the light of God is going to begin to shine. Jesus is revival. Revival is not a strategy. Revival can't be figured out. Revival is Jesus. Jesus is revival. Revival is a people that become desperate for more of Jesus every day. And begin to position ourselves in the presence of God, to be in his presence and to draw from his presence and to draw from his strength and to get his marching orders for our life and for our day. And we begin to make Jesus a priority. When Jesus begins to move from the back burner of our life or begins to move from the Sundays and Wednesdays of our life to being a constant, there's a constant awareness of God's presence, I believe, that God wants us to have. It's not an event and it's not a strategy. It's more of Jesus. More of Jesus. Less of us, God, more of you. Less of us, God, more of you. Come on, can I just tell you, I think that a sign of spiritual maturity, and that's my heart for you as your pastor, wherever you are today, whether you're new to Jesus or you're just even here this morning seeking him, seeking for truth. What is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Whether that's where you are or you've been a disciple of his for many decades. You were part of that video last week back in the 70s. My heart for you is to continue to grow in God. To continue to grow in spiritual maturity, to continue to move and to continue to advance, to continue to take steps. Listen, wherever you are today, there's more of God. He's limitless. And my heart for you is to experience and to taste and see and to walk in the more of God that he has for you in every area of your life. One of the hallmarks, I believe, of spiritual maturity is a more constant awareness of God's presence. What do you mean, Pastor T? Well, I believe that there's Christians, they're saved, they're going to heaven, but they become aware of God on Christmas and Easter. And then there's a group of Christians, and there's people all everywhere in between. But then there's some of us that we're aware of God on Sundays, and maybe Sundays and Wednesdays. But I believe that the invitation of God is this constant awareness of God. He's constantly with us. We're praying without ceasing. We're constantly hearing. We're constantly listening. We're constantly watching. God, what are you up to in my life? What would you have me to say in this situation? How would you have me to respond? We've been talking about response and that God's inviting us to hear and see some things. And then a lot of times the breakthrough that we are able to bring into people's lives, including our own, is when we hear and see what God is doing and saying and we respond. Constant awareness. Come on up. It's an invitation. Relent invitation. So I'm just reminding you of some things we've been talking about. That religion, the traditions of men, there's not life there, but relationship with Jesus, there's life there. And it's the invitation of the Father. Jesus is the door. He is the invitation to this amazing relationship. And there's an opportunity. There's a privilege. There's an honor. There's an invitation. It's not a heavy religious burden. It's an amazing privilege and it's amazing blessing to be able to walk in this daily, amazing, constant relationship with God by the Spirit of God. Come on, there's an adventure of faith that God has for you. There's a life of faith that God has for you. There's some things that God wants to revive once again in you. There's some things that maybe you once held on to or you once believed or you once had before you as dreams and hopes in God. And whatever it is this morning, and I'm about to shift and get into something specific that I believe God wants to do in many of our hearts this morning. But whatever it is for you, I believe God wants to come and he wants to begin to heal. He wants to come and he wants to begin to deal. He wants to begin to pave the way for you to begin to walk in more of his extravagant life. Jesus is revival. Listen, he's a life-giving spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. Listen, there's a difference between just being alive and being a life-giving person. Jesus is life-giving. As we're talking about revival, that's what it's all about. It's more of the life of God in every area of your life. It's this church being filled with more of the life and the presence of God so that when people come from your workplace and people come from wherever they've been and wherever God found them, whenever they come, they experience the life of God. He's a life-giving spirit. There's a difference between just being alive. Listen, there's some people. Just because you're breathing and just because your heart is beating doesn't mean that you're alive. There's people that are, their heart is beating, that you could check their pulse and it's, everything's saying, the vital signs are saying that they're alive, but they're just walking out life. They're just playing out the string. They're just walking through. They're really not connected to real life, the kind of life that God's made possible through Jesus Christ. He's a life-giving spirit. And he comes, John 10:10 says, to not just give life, but he comes to give life in abundance. The life he wants to bring to you is not just, he did come to forgive your sins and get you to heaven. But he didn't just come to get your balance, your debts paid and your balance to zero. That's the entry point into what he has for you. Come on, the urgent need for me and for each of us was to just be saved. But I'm so grateful that once God saved me and he forgave me and he healed me, he didn't stop there. He filled me and he's empowering me and he's still showing me every day more and more and more of who he is and who he's made possible for me and for you and for your neighbor and for your other neighbor to become. The urgent need was to be saved, but his ultimate goal is for you to become this amazing, life-giving person. Revived to life and so aware and connected to his presence that everywhere you go and everyone you encounter, hopeless situations and impossibilities are springing to life because you enter into the equation, because not because you're anything special, but because of the God that's in you. Because you're a carrier of the presence of God, because Jesus is with you, and because when you step into the situation where there's darkness, lights on the scene. Come on, people ought to be excited and happy when they see you stepping into the meeting. He's a life-giving spirit. But come on, the first half of John 10:10 is also true. The enemy comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. And let me encourage you with something this morning. Where there's a promise of God, you better believe that the enemy's going to oppose it. He came to kill and to steal and to destroy. Come on, he's literally on a mission to take you out. And if he can't take you out physically, he's trying to steal, he's trying to hinder, he's trying to limit your ability to enjoy and to walk in everything that God made possible for you through Jesus Christ. And I want to just unpack this morning. I believe God wants to do a deep work in some people's hearts today. A prominent strategy of the enemy is, we understand, according to that scripture, he's coming, he's looking. The Bible says he's looking. He goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to kill, and he wants to steal, and he wants to destroy. And one of his prominent strategies is keeping you focused on your past. And some of you this morning, you've heard everything I'm saying, and maybe you know it's true, but there's such an attachment to the things of your past, the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, or maybe even the current sin that you find yourself in, the weights and the things that hinder us, according to Hebrews chapter 12. Maybe there's such a focus on those things that what I'm saying this morning, it doesn't resonate with you. It sounds too good to be true. It sounds like it might be true for your neighbor, but it could never be true for me. Pastor T, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know where I've been. You don't know where I am. And I say it often, but it deserves repeating. I don't, but God does. God knows, and God desires to, God cares, and God desires to help. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give life and life abundantly. And one of the prominent strategies of the enemy is keeping you focused on your past. And one of the prominent limiting factors to being able to live in and walk in this revived, this abundant life is the impact of unresolved emotional hurt and pain. Associated with disappointment. Listen, you gotta understand, God wants to give life, but there's an enemy who's coming and he's opposing, he's resisting. He's trying to keep you from the promised land. He's trying to keep you from the fullness of what God really, really, really wants for you. And so disappointments, delay, loss, untimely death of loved ones, failures. Maybe you stepped out and you really believed God was going to do it and it didn't happen. Rejection from anyone in your life. Sometimes the people that are even closest to us can reject us the most. Abandonment or betrayal. Whatever it is, I believe that this morning there's some things that the enemy came in and he introduced into your life. And it was a real situation. It was a real trauma. And there's real pain and there's real hurt that's associated with it. But come on, I want to encourage you this morning. We serve and we live for a real God who wants to show up this morning in a real way and bring real life and change and transformation and healing to that situation. for some of you this morning, I know that God's bringing revival to us and to this church and to this city. And as I was praying and just seeking God for what to speak in me to take some stand, which is a unique and special, it's not a business as usual season. God's calling us as a church family to take some steps of faith, and God's calling us as a church family to be reminded of some things that he wants to restore, that he's calling us to revisit. And as I was praying, God just began to show me there's some people who, as you're talking about what I really want to do, the abundant life, there's some people that as you're talking about the second half of John 10:10, this abundant life, this revival life, these amazing promises, this thing that's available, this fully alive and shining brightly lifestyle that we talk about so often that I believe is available to every one of you. There's also some people that are so familiar with the first, where you're at, your reality is the places where the enemy has come to try to kill, steal, and destroy. And you're so acquainted with the pain or with the trauma or with the hurt that the second half, the abundant life, the overflow life, the revival life just doesn't seem like it's a reality. It could be a reality for you. It seems like an impossibility. And I'm just telling you, I believe this morning, as we're about to go back into worship, I believe that God wants to create an opportunity for you to respond and present that pain, that place, that thing, that hurt, that wound that might be clouding your ability to, in faith, become a part of or step into the life that God's calling us to as a church. And I believe this morning, as you present it and you lay it down and you hold it before Jesus this morning, listen, we serve a compassionate high priest. He's constantly interceding for us. He came and he experienced the pain of this world, and yet he did not stumble. And now he's seated at the right hand of God, constantly just interceding for you and for me. He's familiar with it. Come on, I'm glad we serve a God that's familiar with it, because you can entrust it to him. You can bring it to him today. And I believe that there's some people who that pain, that trauma, that hurt, whatever it is in your life, God wants to heal it this morning in a way that begins to shift your perspective. It's what Dr. Berry was saying through that word. He wants to shift your lenses. He wants to begin to change your perspective. He wants to free the way for where there's been a cloudiness or a murkiness. He wants to clear it out so that you can begin to walk in and walk towards what God has versus indiscriminate future. Listen, this enemy of yours is indiscriminate. And I've seen people that have it all put together, man. They look polished. They look like they got it all together, man. On the outside, they look put together. But there's one little area, maybe something as far back as something that your dad said to you, or something that an expectation that you had that wasn't fulfilled, or something that happened in your life, maybe a long ways back. And there's people that have it all put together, but there's some little pain or some little trauma or some little heart, some little trauma in your heart that causes people to be so tied to the pain that they don't experience the fullness of God's promise. It's indiscriminate. Every one of us, come on, every one of us has an area, I believe, this morning that God wants to touch and heal in a new way or in a fresh way or in a deeper way to clear the way for revival life. The enemy reminds you, listen, as I'm asking you, in fact, right now, I want you to begin to ask, Lord, what's that area for me? What's that place for me? Maybe you've just been kind of operating in the wake of it, and you've kind of become unfamiliar with what it actually was. And let me encourage you this morning, when the enemy reminds you of something, because I'm not just trying to dredge up something from your past. When the enemy reminds you of something, it's to bring guilt, shame, or condemnation. It's to keep you tethered and anchored in that place. But we have to understand when the Holy Spirit, because one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to bring conviction. When the Holy Spirit brings or shines light on something, he's not trying to keep you tethered to it. He's trying to set you free from it. So this morning, you can know that it's the Spirit of God who's leading us and who's charging us and who's calling us. And so today you can say, Lord, what's that area that keeps me? What's that area that causes me to have doubt, to hold back, to shrink back? And I can understand as you begin to highlight or remind me, some of you might even be reminded of something that was said or something that was done. And my encouragement to you is have hope and have courage this morning to present it before God. God wants to set you free from it. I believe today God wants to heal hearts. I believe, worship team, come on up and prepare to lead us in our response today. God wants to heal hurts, pains, disappointments that have hindered the flow of faith and life and joy. God's flow first to you, and ultimately God's flow through you. Psalm 119:25 says, I lie in the dust, revive me by your word. Listen, if you have some dead, dying, or dusty places in your life, revival is actually designed just for you. It's about bringing dead things to life. Jesus never promised that we wouldn't have troubles. He promised he'd be with us. He said, I told you these things that you might have peace. In this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. He's the peace in the storm. In the midst of the storm, he's the peace. He's the light in the darkness. He's the hope in the time of despair. He's the gladness even in the time of mourning. He's the faith and the courage even in the midst of fear. Psalm 119:50 says, your promise revives me. Your promise revives me. It comforts me in all of my troubles. Listen, in the midst of some stuff, in the midst of some pain, in the midst of some things you maybe never asked for, you maybe never expected to come about, God never promised you wouldn't go through some things, but his promise to you is that he'll be faithful, he'll never leave you or forsake you, and he'll always be with you even to the end of the age. Your promise revives me, it comforts me in all my troubles. Listen, I believe that God's calling us this morning as we're healed to begin to fix our focus more on his promise than on our pain. To begin to get in God's presence. That's what we're about to do this morning. We're about to worship him, and I'm going to open up this altar right here for people, for any of us. Come on, I believe there's a lot of us this morning that need to respond. I believe this, the front of this area right here is just going to be flooded with people who are presenting their pain before God and saying, God, I'm trusting you to heal it today in a new way or a fresh way so that I can begin to fix my promise once again upon, or my eyes upon your promise and not upon that place where there's been pain. Listen, by its very nature, pain draws your attention to it. You know, pain draws, you know what I'm saying? Pain draws your attention. When you got a hurting elbow or whatever, everything else can be good, but you're thinking about that elbow. Everything else can be good. Everything's good, but you're thinking about that place of pain. Pain, by its very nature, draws your attention to that place. And listen, God designed it because he wants to put your focus on that so that it can be healed. So that something can shift, so that you can make an adjustment, so that you'll make a change, so that you can begin, maybe slow down a little bit and just say, God, I got this injury right here. I got this hurt ligament. I got something hurting in my leg or in my knee or in my ankle, and I'm aware of it. And I know that you're making me aware of it today, not because you want me to stay there or focus on it, because you want me to present it before you, because you want to heal it and you want to get me back off the sidelines and back into the race of God for my life. We run this race with endurance that Jesus has set before us by keeping our eyes on him. He's the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Listen, you can have a lot to be thankful for, but unresolved pain is receiving undue focus. And I want to share a testimony of ours briefly before we transition into our response into this ministry time. And I began to share it a few weeks ago. I was talking with you guys about a painful and a difficult season that we walked through several years ago when we were in South Texas, and we had what should have been just all about the joy of welcoming our third child, Ava, into the world. We began to realize that after the C-section that my beautiful wife Amity had to welcome Ava into the world, we realized something was just wrong. Something was just off, and there was pain, and there was just all this stuff that was going on that just wasn't right. And so we began to just present it before God, and we began to also just walk in wisdom out of process to just figure out what was wrong. And through 14 months of pain and through 14 months of was a hysterectomy, we received a promise from God. And listen, you got to hear me this morning. We went to 6 different doctors. And we were in the early stages of us exploring this, what was wrong. I mean, Amity was just like, debilitating pain that she would experience. And I just can't even tell you what it was like as her husband to be able to just watch her, and she would just be in pain just in the corner of the room or whatever. And it was just like, Lord, and I would pray, and we weren't getting any answers, but we were just persevering. We were continuing to just present it before God, and we were continuing to walk out a process of wisdom. We went to 6 different doctors, and initially it was no answers, and then the answer became hysterectomy, hysterectomy, hysterectomy. And we were saying, Lord, what do? We've got like 3 doctors that are saying this. And in the midst of that season, when we were just praying, saying, God, give us wisdom about the steps to take. Because, you know, I believe we have a desire to have more kids, but my wife's health is more important than anything, than any of those things. You know, I want to put her first, and I want to just, but God came and he spoke in the midst of that season, and he gave us a promise. He gave my wife a dream. And I remember her waking up from the dream, and she said, God gave me a dream last night. And I believe it was from him. And I believe it's going to help to shape this process that we're walking out. He gave me a dream of a little baby boy. And I was holding him. And I knew, Thomas, that in the dream, the boy was ours. We were open to adopting or fostering. We might still do that down the line. But she said, I knew that in my spirit that God gave me the dream and the baby was ours. And it gave us faith to just take one more step, to go from the fifth doctor to the sixth doctor. And when we made that transition, when we took that one last step of faith, we got a doctor who said, you know what? I believe I can fix this. I don't have to remove it. I can repair it. And he went in, and praise God, it was a difficult process. We had to drive from South Texas all the way up there, and the drive up there was okay, but the drive on the back half of the surgery was no fun for her. But praise God, it was able to be repaired instead of removed. Come on, if you're clapping for that, you're really about to clap. But there was still this cloud of doubt about, could we really have that baby? Because there was, you know, they'd had to go in and do this pretty radical procedure, pretty invasive procedure to correct what had gone wrong in that previous C-section. And there was still this doubt, and there was still this fear, and they were telling us, because this is the fourth time that she's been operated on, it puts you in a different category of consideration as it regards to your ability and willingness to have another baby. But we believe, we hung on to the promise of God. We made a decision, we're going to focus on the promise of God and not on the pain of this situation. And I just got to tell you, 3 months ago we found out that 6 months from now, we'll welcome a baby boy into this world. Come on. Come on. We'll welcome a baby boy into this world. Listen. Did I say that clearly enough? She's pregnant. I just want to, I mean, were you talking about a spiritual thing or what, you know? I'm pregnant with a vision and dream for this church in this city. She's pregnant with a baby boy. So listen, stand to your feet, stand to your feet, stand to your feet. And remember what we're talking about. Let me go back and just remind you. God wants to begin to heal your pain so that you can shift your focus from the pain of your past to the promise of his future for you. Where is it where there's some kind of a pain, there's some kind of a trauma, something that the enemy came and introduced to complicate or to hinder what Jesus wants to do in your life, this abundant life, this fully alive, this shining brightly life that he has for you. And I just trust that this morning there's many people throughout this precious family that God's highlighting something. He's reminding you of something. And again, he's reminding you of it today. I believe, because his presence is going to be here and is here right now to bring healing. So Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are a giver of life. Thank you that you are a life-giving spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you are greater. You that is in us, the Holy Spirit of the Most High God, Jesus, is greater than the one who is in this world, who comes to trip us up, to drag us down, to put heavy weights on us, to keep us connected to our past and the guilt and the shame and the condemnation. Thank you, Lord, for those of us this morning who are even right now in the throes of a difficult situation, or even right now battling some kind of a sin or a struggle. Today, Lord, you're here to bring life. Today, Lord, you're here to bring freedom. Today, Lord, you're here this morning to bring a shift, to bring a change, to change our lenses, to cause to heal us in a way that allows us to begin to once again focus on your promises for our life. Come on, your promises for your marriage, your promises for your future, his promises for your family, his promises for the purposes of God for your life. So team, lead us in this song. And right now, if there's faith in your life to just present something before God, I believe our responsibility this morning is to respond, to release, and to receive. To respond to God. Come on, if he's quickening something in your heart, respond to him in faith. Respond to, maybe you've been carrying something for a long time, even decades. This morning, I believe, is your divine appointment, your moment in the presence of God to get set free and healed in a new way. To respond to God, to release it before him. I'm not hanging on to that anymore. They did what they did to me, but I'm not giving them power over me anymore. I'm releasing it before you. I'm forgiving them, and I'm getting on with life. Come on, if the person has the power over you, they're the solution over you, and they're not your solution. Jesus is your solution. So let go of it. Release it. Respond, release, and receive. So right now, as the worship team begins to play, I'm going to open up this altar, and I want you to come, and I want you to respond. As you respond, I want you to do it in that posture. I'm releasing this to you, Jesus. The hurt, the pain, the wound, the disappointment, the despair, whatever it is in your life that's clouding your ability to see faith for your future and the abundant life of God, bring it and respond and release it. Release it. Release it. Come on. Lay it down and leave it at the altar this morning. Walk out of here without that weight that you're carrying right now on your shoulders. Walk out of here a lighter. Walk out of here able and ready to begin to run again like you maybe once were or never had before. And then receive. I believe as you release something, as you lay it down, as you open up your hands before God, I believe he wants to put something in your hand. Where that thing is today, he wants to fill it with his life. Where that pain is today, is right now in this moment, he wants to begin to fill it with his life. Amen? Open invitation. Just make your way to the front and just to respond to God and to release whatever it is and to receive what he wants to do in your life.